Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast. I'm joined now by no stranger to the show, and that's Stéphane Dupoz, the CEO of Africa Data Centers. Stéphane, good to see you. How have you been keeping? I believe you're in London today.
Yeah, I'm in London today. I've been able to get out of my home in France. Obviously not been able to travel as much as I'm used to be doing in the recent months. I've also been able to go to South Africa just to, supervise the last works to be done on our new data center in Johannesburg, which we are going to officially launch in a few days.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, remind me about that data center. Where is that being built and how big is it?
It is in our campus in Midrand, Johannesburg, which already has significant capacity and hyperscale presence, and is going to be a 10 megawatt. It is a 10 megawatt IT load data center.
Okay, so it's an expansion of that campus. I didn't actually realize there was still space available on that campus to build more data center infrastructure. Have you gone vertical with this one?
Not a bit, but not hugely. I mean, there's just two levels.
Two levels, okay. Great. Well, the reason I was keen, Stéphane, to talk to you today was on the back of an announcement you made a few days ago. Africa Data Centers made that you have earmarked $500 million, or about 7.3 billion rand, for investment in new data center capacity across the continent. I think you spoke about 10 data centers across a number of markets. I'm not sure if it was 10 markets as well. Maybe just take us through the background to that. Where did this announcement come from? Is it on the back of new funding that you've raised? And what are your plans?
Well, I mean, you and I have already talked about that several times. Africa Data Centers already is the largest Pan-African data center operator. And, we are a very important presence in South Africa, in Kenya. We are about to launch a data center in Nigeria, and we also have operations in Zimbabwe and in Rwanda. And it's always been our DNA to expand all over the continent. Mm-hmm. And we've been working in several directions over the past months, into implementing our strategy of further strengthening our leadership in terms of being that largest Pan-African data center operator. So it is we also have been able to secure funding for it. So the plan is to expand in 10 countries. So that includes countries we already are in, and significant plans to continue expanding in South Africa, in Kenya, and in Nigeria. But we also have plans to enter into new countries. And that is mainly in West and North Africa, where we are not fully present yet, and where we also intend to have a leading position. So we it is at various stages, and it's difficult at this stage for me to give more details. But we are very well advanced into being able to build fast. I mean, we are currently securing land in all those countries, and we will start building soon.
You specifically mentioned Morocco, Tunisia, and Egypt, which are all markets in which ADC currently does not operate. How important is it actually to build data center infrastructure? I mean, if there are 50-plus countries across the African continent, are we going to get to a point at some stage in, say, the next 10 years where each one of those markets is going to have some sort of data center capacity, or do you think the smaller markets will inevitably be served by the larger markets on the continent?
I think it's going to be a bit both. We don't intend to build the same kind of size everywhere. The way we are seeing it is that we believe in the creation of regional hubs, you know, that can be South Africa, Kenya, Nigeria, Morocco, and Egypt, typically. And where you know, analysts and you know, market observers predict, and that includes us, of course, that you know, there is a combination of you know, GDP growth, population, economic fabric that you know really give the good soil for the digital world to explode, and we are in priority investing in those countries, of course. Now, around those countries, as we, again, do not have a single country vision, it's our DNA to think pan-African, but we also are getting organized by regions. And, you know, typically, if we have started in West Africa with Nigeria, there are several countries in that region where that we have identified for, you know, being great opportunities to for development.
Just give us an idea, Stefan, of the size of your data centers currently. If you combine all of the IT white space or the floor space in these data centers, of the existing data center space, and how you plan to expand that over the coming years.
Well, it changes regularly as you know we are bringing new capacity to the market, but I would say that we probably are in the range of you know 25 megawatts of IT, and the plan is to get to 75 shortly.
75. So you're looking to triple the size of your capacity in the coming years. Okay, and I know we've spoken about this before, but energy is always an issue on the continent, the reliable supply of energy. How are you going to be working around that in these new data center builds? And are you able to look at green energy center, energy center builds at all through this process?
Our carbon impact is in the, you know, at the center of what we're doing. I mean, one first has to remind that a data center is a tool of massive carbon footprint reduction. If there were no data center, the, you know, IT world, would consume much more power. So, you know, because we have the experience, because we mutualize some of the equipment, we significantly reduce the carbon footprint of, you know, our digital life. Nevertheless, we are constantly looking at, you know, improving the efficiency of the data centers in order to continue to reduce, you know, the carbon impact of the digital world. So, I mean, as you know, Duncan, each country is different, and you know, the power situation you know, varies significantly. In South Africa, you know, we have to deal with, you know, load shedding. But again, I mean, data centers that are well designed are designed to cope with that. In Kenya, typically the grid itself, is, you know, the mix of the grid itself is very much around renewable energies. So the power you get from the grid is already coming significantly from reduced energy. And we are you know, deploying everywhere we can on all of our roofs, for example, and sometimes, you know, beside the data center, deploying solar farms to further reduce our carbon footprint. And we are exploring everything, absolutely everything. Our international customers have made commitments to become carbon neutral during this decade, and you know, we will be making the same commitment, and we are working in that direction at the moment.
Interesting, but I imagine it's not the easiest thing to do, running an entire data center, for example, on solar and battery backup, and that ultimately you do need some sort of diesel generator to run that if there is a problem.
Of course. You can't build a data center around only solar energy, because you know the amount of solar capacity you need is going to really use a space that you know at sometimes you know, can become contradictory to the purpose. So you know, we are using it as much as we can, but then what we are also doing is sourcing everywhere we can energy that is renewable, that is called power wheeling, where you actually buy renewable energy and then you know you input it to the grid and the grid gives it back to you. So we are also working in that direction.
And cooling must be a challenge too, particularly on the African continent where temperatures tend to be higher than elsewhere in the world. I suppose locating a data center in the Kalahari Desert, for example, might make sense from a solar energy perspective, but then you've got to keep the data center cool in very hot conditions. So, when you build new data centers, do you consider locations that that are close to, for example, hydropower or other renewable energy sources that would reduce your carbon footprint, or is that possible at all?
Quite a lot. We really input, you know, the reducing our carbon footprint at the very beginning of our expansion projects. Now, that being said, if a data center is needed, you know, in a place that is very hot, then, you know, we will deliver it. But there are a lot of things that, you know, our experience has learned us in how to optimize that carbon reduction. And that really starts with, you know, how you build to start with. Because certain ways of building are more isolating than others. And you can protect yourself from the external heat better.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, very clearly, if you are in an extremely hot environment, then you're going to have to cool a little bit more. I mean, it's going to use more power to cool than if it was, you know, in a very cold environment. But we know how to optimize that so that we can still provide the benefit of the digital world to the countries where we are expanding. And those benefits, you know, largely compensate for, you know, the carbon footprint, because the digital world, let's not forget it. Yes, it does consume power, but it also significantly reduces our carbon footprint. I mean, I remember before the internet, if I had to sign a contract, you know, if I was living in Johannesburg and I had to sign a contract discuss a contract in Cape Town, I had to fly there and print and then modify and then fly back. And you know, so yes, the digital life and infrastructure consumes power, but it significantly reduces our human carbon footprint.
I just want to come back briefly to the expansion plans. You said you're looking to build more capacity here in South Africa. This is beyond the expansion you're doing at your Midrand facility. Are you, maybe just take us through that a little bit, what your thinking is there. I know it may be early days to talk about it, but can you share some insight in terms of what your South African expansion plans are specifically?
Well, yes. I mean, it's a bit early days, but we can still continue to develop in our Midrand campus.
Oh, yes.
And also we are now very well advanced in a project on our Samrand campus. Mm-hmm. You might remember that last year we acquired the Standard Bank facility in Samrand, and you know, one of the great things about this acquisition is that there is land on that property to significantly expand. So that is going to be one of the directions we're going to take. We are also looking for a third location in Johannesburg.
Okay.
And in Cape Town, we are also very well advanced in a very large expansion where we already are in our Deep River campus. And we are also looking at acquiring land in a second location in Cape Town.
Okay, so you're going to have facilities right across the country. Your Samrand campus that you bought from, or the data center in Samrand that you bought from Standard Bank, have you had to make modifications to that, or was it pretty much a case of we take this over and just start filling racks?
We've been able to fill in racks immediately. Now, you know, there are a few adjustments we are making to you know, accommodate a more various kind of customership, because obviously it's been extremely well designed up to, you know, extremely high standards, but mainly for a single user. For, you know, Standard Bank's standards. And as we are opening that amazing data center to the market, there are a few little adjustments that we need to make to be able to accommodate other type of requests and be more, adapted. But one has to say that it's a fantastic facility, and we have very, very little to modify or to change.
So when do you think you'll break ground on the expansion of Samrand?
Within the next few months.
Okay. And will you be doubling the size, tripling it?
At least doubling.
Okay.
At least.
Okay. I just wanted to drill down briefly into the $500 million headline figure that you mentioned in the press statement that you issued a few days ago. Is that new funding, or is that previously announced funding?
It's going to be a combination of both. Okay. And at that point, I can't get into the detail of that.
Okay. And combination of debt and equity?
Yes.
Okay. So you're getting investment as well from your parent company, Liquid Intelligent Technologies Group?
Yes. I mean, as it has been communicated, that funding is going to come through Liquid Intelligent Technologies.
Okay. All right. I guess the last question I wanted to ask was, actually, there's two quick questions I still wanted to ask. One was around interconnection. You said you wanted to interconnect all of the facilities that you are building on the continent. Are you specifically going to build facilities where Liquid already has backhaul fiber infrastructure, or where there is existing fiber infrastructure in the ground from other telecommunications operators?
Well, remember that Africa Data Centers is by DNA a carrier-neutral data center operator. So yeah. We very much promote a wide variety of telecom operators to provide services in our data centers. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the fact that all those data centers are interconnected provide immediate benefits to our customers, because typically, if you are in Lagos, you have access to all the customers that we are having everywhere on our footprint, and you can work with them and interconnect with them easily, and just that eases up your digital transformation, because you have access to partners, to your supply chain, to cloud operators that may not be in the country where you are. So those benefits those benefits are unique to what we are doing at Africa Data Centers because of that large footprint. And we want to be able to provide them as early as possible in our data centers. So of course, we use day one, they are interconnected through other companies of the group, such as Liquid. But again, everybody can come and do the same.
Okay. And then lastly, I just wanted to ask about the data center market in Africa broadly, but also in the South African context. There's been a lot of investment, particularly in South Africa in recent years. We've seen Teraco, for example, announcing massive new data centers in Gauteng. Dimension Data and NTT have announced that they're building a data center together. There have been various other announcements made in the recent past. Do you think there's a risk that the market is starting to become a bit overtraded?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because we've really only seen the beginning of the development of the cloud, for example, and of that ecosystem where local enterprise are using the cloud. Using the cloud allows the South African enterprise to work better, to make savings on the way they currently work in terms of IT. But also, it allows them to do things they were not able to do before. So that really is only the beginning. And you know, at the moment, in South Africa, there are not many hyperscalers who have deployed large, you know, compute footprint. So we are expecting that trend to expand significantly. Because what we are seeing is that the hyperscalers which have deployed large-scale compute capacity in South Africa are expanding themselves. So basically it means that they are successful. And that is, you know, fantastic news, because it's just going to simply, motivate everyone else to actually come and provide additional services in South Africa, and that will require significant data center capacity. So we are not very concerned about that.
Yeah, and of course we've seen, I mean, some of the names are companies like Microsoft, like Amazon Web Services, who have invested in the South African market. Do you think these global so-called hyperscale data center operators or cloud service providers like Amazon, like Microsoft, will eventually look to create regions within Africa? Because at the moment they've invested in South Africa and are now serving the African continent from South Africa. Do you think at some point they're going to look to say, well, we need a region in Nigeria for West Africa, and we need a region in Kenya for East Africa? Do you think that's the natural progression of this?
Yes, we do. Exactly the way you said it. Mm-hmm. And you know, they are also, themselves looking for growth.
Yeah.
The growth is the key. And Africa is a fantastic continent if you are looking for growth in digital services, generally speaking, because it has not been served the same as everywhere else in the world for the moment.
Yeah.
So, you know, that really is where the growth is. And it's, you know, applicable to consumer-oriented digital services, you know, like WhatsApp and others, as well as business-oriented digital services. So we are very much convinced that, you know, there will be new countries all over the continent where we will be seeing the hyperscalers deploy compute capacity soon.
And then very final question, Equiano and 2Africa, two new giant cable systems that are going to be deployed quite soon. In fact, Equiano, I think, is already starting to be deployed along Africa's west coast. I'm not sure if the 2Africa cable, which is backed by Facebook and others, has started to be deployed yet, but that's also coming. And this is going to bring unprecedented capacity, undersea capacity around Africa. What's the impact of those two cable systems going to be, do you think, on your business specifically?
Well, it is going to further accelerate the growth of digital services and digital usage in Africa. So, you know, remember, Africa is currently something like 15% of the world population and is expected to reach, you know, 20 or even 25% of the world population pretty soon. And yet it only has 1% of the data center capacity. So what it means is that if you compare the digital life, the digital usage of Africa compared to the rest of the world, we are a bit behind. But yet Africa is you know, extraordinarily dynamic and creative, and there are so much potential that is only waiting for the digital capacity to be there to express itself, that you know, we are, it's going to further accelerate that deployment. So the more Africa is connected to the rest of the world, the more it is going to catch up, with that gap in usage of digital life, and that is going to accelerate. Now, one of the things that also needs to happen to continue that journey is obviously that people have access, can use the data in their private life in a way that is a little bit more affordable than it is now, but we are seeing that happening too.
Stéphane Desproz is CEO of Africa Data Centers. As always, Stéphane, thanks so much for talking to Tech Central.
Thank you. You have a good day.